Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
The biggest mysteries about the whole thing, or the maybe the overall mystery of all of this, is we just don't know. There's a million questions and very few answers. It's strange. It really is mind-boggling, because you just don't know where to go. You don't know which way to look. You don't know which lead to pursue. You don't know what to do. It just ends up paralyzing you, because there's infinite possibilities of what happened.
Hello, and welcome to episode 73 of The Vanished. 19-year-old Martin Roberts disappeared from Boone, North Carolina on April 21st, 2016. The last confirmed sighting of Martin was on that day when he was speaking to a friend on the sidewalk. This conversation was seen on bus surveillance cameras, but after that, Martin simply vanished. During the investigation into Martin's disappearance, detectives found that there was a lot of time unaccounted for in the weeks leading up to his disappearance, where Martin wasn't leaving a digital trail, and none of his friends know what he was doing either. The Boone Police Department and Martin's family have been digging for answers, but the further they dig, the deeper the mystery gets. Could he have been secretly planning a new life? This is part one of Martin's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner. And it's great for my evening walks, too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500.
At the time of Martin's disappearance, he was attending college and living in scenic Boone, North Carolina with three other full-time students who were also his fraternity brothers. In the days leading up to his disappearance, nothing seemed out of the ordinary to any of Martin's friends or family. Martin appeared to be doing all the things that he usually did. On that fateful Thursday, he left his apartment, spoke to a friend on the street, and vanished. Before we get too deep into Martin's story, I want to tell you that we have a unique opportunity in this case, which is why I split it into two parts. I've spoken to the Boone Police Department, and they have been fantastic to work with. They've given me the chance to extend the opportunity to you as listeners to submit your questions about the case to be answered in part two. I wanted to tell you this at the beginning of the episode instead of the end, so you can think about what you'd like to ask and maybe write down some questions as you listen. I'll give you instructions at the end of the episode on where you can submit your questions. For this episode, I spoke to Martin's dad, John. He had spoken to Martin just days before he disappeared. He gave me some background information about Martin's life leading up to his disappearance.
For the past, say, 6 months up to Christmas, Martin had been at home working pretty much full time and working towards getting back into school. He had had 1 year at Appalachian State in Boone and had done okay, but had struggled some. I guess some of the freshman freedom may have took a toll on some of his studies, and he had spent a semester living at home, working, and first of the year, he moved back to Boone, was taking classes online through local community college, taking some classes to try to catch up for the semester he missed, as well as get some good solid grades that would help his GPA, all in preparation of starting back as a full-time student at Appalachian State in the fall. And things seemed to be moving right along. His grades were solid. He had been also looking for some part-time work in the Boone area. And at the time when you don't know to be looking for clues or looking for drivers or looking for things abnormal, which may have been a sign that something was going on, everything seemed to be normal. I spoke with Martin the Monday of the week that he disappeared. Monday evening, we talked for probably 15 or 20 minutes on the phone. We were talking about his apartment for the next semester. We were talking about the process of seeing an advisor at Appalachian State to make sure that everything was in line and ready to go there. We had talked about saving some money by, you know, working over the summer to help pay for expenses and getting him on a budget and that kind of thing. A lot of long-term plans, and everything seemed just the way it should. And that was the first of that week. We were going to talk again Tuesday or Wednesday and had not heard anything from him, which, you know, with a college age child, it's not totally unusual to say, well, we'll talk tomorrow or the next day. And then, you know, 2 or 3 days later, you have to start calling or texting and say, I thought we were going to talk. Oh, yeah, this came up, that came up. So it wasn't totally out of the norm. Then on Thursday, when I hadn't heard anything, I kind of was getting a little concerned, more aggravated, because I really didn't have any suspicion of a reason to be concerned, because everything seemed normal, and still didn't hear anything. So Friday morning is when I started calling anybody and everybody I could to try to find out if anybody had seen him, what was going on. And that's when, you know, we found out that he had left. That was April 21st of last year.
When John couldn't reach Martin, he began reaching out to others to see if anyone else could locate him.
I didn't have any of the guys' cell phone numbers handy. And of course, being four young men in the apartment, you know, they didn't have a landline. They all had cell phones, and I couldn't find one of their numbers, but I did have the telephone number and cell phone number for the gentleman that owned the property at the time and had leased the apartment to the boys. So I called him and asked him, could he contact any of the other guys that lived in the apartment and see whether they had seen Martin or, you know, knew what was going on, you know, with his phone damaged. Once again, being a teenage boy, it wasn't that abnormal for Martin to have damaged his phone and it not be working the way it should. Teenage boys seem to be hard-headed about using cases, and they drop it and they break or they get damaged. So, you know, I asked him to do that. He contacted one of the roommates. The roommate went into Martin's room, and of course Martin was not there, and he had left a note along with his cell phone, and, you know, most of his belongings were still in the room. So the roommate then called me, and well, first I guess he called the police actually and told them that Martin was missing, and they hadn't seen him in a day or so. Which they were all three of them being full-time students and also had jobs, and at least a couple of them had some serious girlfriend. So, you know, college kids, once again, it wouldn't be unusual to go a day or so without seeing your roommate. So they called the police first, told them, and then called me to let me know. And I immediately dropped everything I was doing and grabbed my wife, and we headed to Boone.
So Martin left a note behind when he went missing. The full note hasn't been released to the public. John explained to me why it hasn't been released and gave me a good idea of what was written in the note.
Yeah, it really was not specific. And, you know, it's something that we haven't released a lot of details about for various reasons. And, you know, parenthetically, I'll say I listened to one of your recent podcast after we had communicated, and you had a pretty lengthy interview with one of the investigators or detectives from, I believe, the Kentucky State Police. Some of those conversations were very familiar in that, you know, working with the Boone Police Department, some things are shared and some things aren't, and that, you know, if for some reason that the situation where Martin is trying not to be found for whatever reason it may be, and he's monitoring Facebook and other things like that, you know, they don't want everything to be known because then he would know what to avoid or what to do or not to do and that kind of stuff. Back to the note itself, it was more of, you know, making a change, not that he was sorry he had not been as successful in the opportunities he had had going to school and having the opportunity to you know, advance his education in preparation for, you know, working towards a career and the kind of things that we as a family tried to provide for Martin to make him be successful in whatever he wanted to do. He, you know, expressed some regret that he hadn't necessarily taken advantage of all the opportunities that he had and that he was leaving. And it didn't say, was he going somewhere, or God forbid, was he going to do something? It just was vague. It didn't have particulars. And that's been one of the biggest mysteries about the whole thing, or maybe the overall mystery of all this is we just don't know. There's a million questions and very few answers.
When someone leaves a note behind, I think it's important to consider where the note was found. Was it something that they wanted to be found? Could it have been something that he had written in the past and tucked away? I believe the way the note was discovered would imply that Martin wanted it to be found.
It was on his bed with a lot of other stuff. He was never one to keep a very clean room unless it was a requirement. So it was just kind of on the top of a pile of stuff. I think, if I remember right, it was actually turned face down, but it was on the top of the pile. And there was like another, kind of like a version 1.0, was crumbled up in the trash can. And it was pretty much the same thing. The first sentence or two matched the first sentence of the note that he actually left, but he crumbled it up and threw it away and started again. So it seems to be some intent in writing the note that he did.
There was a solid confirmed sighting of Martin on the 21st. He stopped and spoke with a friend on the street for quite some time.
Well, what had happened is the last time he was seen that we know of was the Thursday, the 21st, around lunchtime. He was walking on the other side of the street from one of the main bus stops there at the campus. He had a backpack on and had some stuff on him in it, but, you know, couldn't be seen what was in there. It wasn't big and bulky like he was, you know, striking out to walk the Appalachian Trail, and he had his supplies and sleeping stuff and tent and all that. It wasn't anything big like that. It was just a regular backpack that he used for school, but it obviously had some stuff in it. And he saw somebody he knew. He walked across the street. They stopped and had a conversation for 15 or 20 minutes while she was waiting on the bus. And all of the buses there in Boone have cameras in multiple directions to make sure that they can capture everybody on the bus as well as driver in case there's any kind of issues or situations. Buses that were going by picked him up on their surveillance cameras talking, as well as the bus that came and picked up the young lady he was speaking with and drove off. And he was seen walking away. And when the bus pulled away, that was the last time he was seen. The next time a bus comes through there, he's gone. And they checked surveillance cameras there of local stores and I guess ATMs and whatnot. There's so many different cameras around now, but did not pick him up anywhere else in the area after that bus pulled away.
Just like everyone else, this friend he spoke with had no indication that anything was wrong.
Not at all. They were talking about the fall semester, where he was going to live, who his roommates were going to be, you know, classes. She had no clue whatsoever that there was anything out of the way.
There was another possible sighting that day, but unlike the first one, it hasn't been 100% confirmed.
Later that day, a little bit outside of town, there is a little pond that a lot of the locals, especially students, like to go hang out, go swimming, that kind of stuff. And it's a place that he is, you know, known to have visited in the past. Somebody driving in that area thought that they saw him walking in that area, and that was an area that would lead ultimately up to the Appalachian Trail. Even though the person there was, I can't remember now, it's either two people or three people like in a pickup truck or something or another. And one of the people said she knew Martin for a fact and she thought it was him, but there was no other sighting or collaboration or anything else. So it may or may not. We know for a fact when he was seen there at campus around 12:30 that was him. There's no doubt about that. Whether the next sighting an hour or two later near the pond was Martin, we're not sure.
When John told me about this sighting, it made me wonder if this was a place that Martin could have walked to on his own, or would he have needed a ride?
I think he could have walked. Martin played soccer all his life and was always in good shape. So normally, you know, the kids ride up there or possibly ride a bike up there. And Martin did not have a car at that time. So he was used to, you know, picking up rides with friends and roommates and guys that he knew from high school and people that he had met up there. So it was walkable, but it could have been just as well that he had caught a ride.
Other possible sightings of Martin have been reported since he went missing. Many have been ruled out, and others just could not be confirmed.
There has been no other sightings that have been confirmed. Reports, most of the times, they just don't check out. Time we can, we encourage people that they have any thought at all, it could be him, to please call the Boone Police Department or please call the Crime Stoppers in the area and report it. And they also have an online tip line as well through the Crime Stoppers where people can report it. And those things do come in from time to time. So far, when they actually come in contact with some body, it ends up, it's not him. There's been one or two, I think there was one reported at a Walmart not too long after Martin went missing that, they never could find exactly who somebody was talking about or couldn't confirm anything there. So there was a few that you can't say, for a fact it wasn't, but you also can't say, that it was. But the, the Boone Police Department, or they have contacted local police departments as far away as Wilmington, Myrtle Beach, and places along that where there have been people calling the tip line to say, I may have seen him, or one person that I think reported that he was working at a Taco Bell in Charlotte, North Carolina. But, that, of course, that didn't turn out to be him.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
Martin's case isn't one where you'll hear the family say they wish that law enforcement had done this or done that. The Boone Police Department has done so much to try to find Martin, from actual physical searches and investigative work to reaching out to outside agencies for their input on his case.
Oh, I can say nothing but positive things about the Boone Police Department. They have really done things I would not have expected. Just cannot tell you how much we appreciate the efforts of the Boone Police Department. They really jumped on this immediately. The first week or two, there was daily, even two or three times a day, communication as we were running down a lot of different things that needed to be run down initially. There's a million things on the list that need to be checked off. Could it be this? Could it be that? Could it be the other? And they had a very systematic process. They have been very supportive of the family and actually talked with Captain Andy LeBeau yesterday, as a matter of fact, in preparation of the kind of one-year milestone. They are going to get all of their resources that have had anything to do with this investigation, as well as some others, and also bring in another outside expert, and they're planning on spending a day or two and go over the entire case file again. And I know they've done this several times where they pick a day and they all get together and they just sit around and do nothing but go through it piece by piece by piece and kick it around again of, could we have done this? Could we have done that? Do we need to do this? Did we stop too soon? Or, you know, what as far as the different trails they have gone down trying to find out what's going on. So they have been very, very responsive, very dedicated, I think, in doing what they can. It's a small police force, but they have called in experts. They've called in national people. They've pulled in some resources from the federal government as well as state government. There's definitely no pride there. If somebody's got an answer or somebody's got a suggestion or somebody's got an idea of something they need to do, they have been all over that from the very beginning. So I just cannot say enough about the job that they have done, how much we appreciate it. And I can't think of how it could have been handled any better from their point of view.
Martin disappeared on a Thursday, and by the weekend, they were actively searching many places in the Boone area.
As a matter of fact, the first weekend was quite a chilly weekend, and they were able to pull some strings and get a helicopter from the, I believe it's the North Carolina Highway Patrol, that had infrared sensors and whatnot to come into the area at night and do some aerial searches to see if they could find a small campfire somewhere or somebody, you know, off the beaten path wandering through the woods or anything like that. They have had several targeted searches. They searched, of course, around the apartment. There was another house that the boys in the fraternity would call a fraternity house. It really wasn't. It was just a house that a couple of the brothers rented, and all the other brothers would go there for parties, and they kind of take turn from year to year who has to rent a house and call that the fraternity house. They checked in that area. They checked around the swimming pond that they would go to. They checked some of the paths that were in that area that would lead to the Appalachian Trail. They had to check an area or two that, sadly, there have been a couple of cases in the Boone area where kids have gone off and committed suicide, and they went and checked those areas too, just to make sure that it wasn't a copycat kind of situation. It's a very mountainous, lots of deep woods. There's areas where you can be on the road and within 10, 15, 20 yards, you can be so deep in the woods, you can't even see the highway from where you are. It gets very rocky, very mountainous, and very deep in woods very quickly in some of those areas there. So the searches have had to be searches with intention. It's not a situation where we can say, well, let's check the 5 miles around the apartment that he lived in. You just can't do it without having some direction, which has been a really hard thing because, you know, you see these cases, you watch them on TV, you hear them on the radio, podcast, wherever you get information, and you see these big search parties, and you're sitting here going, well, why aren't we doing that? And it's just not feasible in that area if you don't know where you're going. There was one situation where a missing girl was found after an area had been searched 2 or 3 times previous. And it was just that thick and that much brush and that much growth that if you're not looking exactly where you need to look, you can miss a lot. So it's been very unfortunate in other situations that it has been a situation that drug out longer than anybody would have liked.
In previous episodes, I've mentioned Suzanne's Law, which extends the resources that the federal government offers in cases of missing children to young adults ages 18, 19, and 20. This has allowed for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children to assist in Martin's case as well.
One of the things that Boone Police Department were all over initially is getting that kind of help in. They've had, between them and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, they've had national experts come in and look at the case and give them suggestions. Matter of fact, one of them was the one that told them, well, you have to go up there and drag that pond that he used to hang out, and the girl said he was that way. Do we think he's there? No, we don't really think he's there. But until you know he's not, he could be. And one of the things they focused on is you make your checklist, and then you do not check it off till you're completely sure it's checked off, and then you move on. And so, you know, I know now a whole lot more about bodies and water and cadaver dogs and all that kind of stuff than I ever dreamed I would know about. And it, you know, it makes you sick when it's something that's related to you, but it's one of those things that they had to do. And it's one of those things that grabs attention. It grabs press attention. So you try to use that and go ahead, and you know it's going to make the news. So let's try to use it again as another opportunity to say, you know, he's missing, his family cares greatly and wants him back. But it's tough days, because every time the phone rings, is it going to be good news or bad news? And you don't know which phone call you want. You know, on one hand, you want to find out what's happened, but on the other hand, you don't want the phone call that there's a body. And so it's just a really, really tough place to be.
Have you ever heard of a reverse 911 call? A reverse 911 call is when a system is utilized to inform residents in a certain area when there are different kinds of emergencies. You may have received one if you were in an area where there was an active shooter on the loose or a natural disaster. The Boone Police Department utilized this technology when Martin went missing to reach out to property owners in the area.
They worked with the county to do what they call a reverse 911, where they either called or emailed, depending on the contact information they had, for the person of record for every piece of property in that area to say, hey, because some of the property is owned by, say, people in Florida, and they only come up from time to time. So they would have got an email or a phone call through the local 911 system to say, if you have a piece of property in the area that you don't check regularly, you need to check or call us. We'll go check it, because he could be what they call cabin surfing and just going from cabin to cabin to cabin, living off of somebody else till somebody shows up. And they did a contact of everybody in the area to make sure you check your property, whether you have outbuildings, barns, shacks, sheds, whatever, to make sure that he's not doing that. And so far that hasn't, you know, once again, they'll get a phone call that say, well, I saw a kind of young, skinny, tall kid, you know, going into the woods behind Tweetsie Railroad, and there's some houses back there, and they go check it out, but none of those have turned out to be, you know, anything beyond either they never found the person they were talking about, or the person they find is definitely not him.
Martin's case reminded me a little bit of Cody Matthews' case that I covered in episode 45. We know that Cody had extensive skills that would have allowed him to live off the grid. I asked John if Martin had that kind of training in his past.
Being in Boone, you kind of have to like the outdoors just about. And in the group of guys he liked to hang out with and his fraternity brothers, they did things out in the woods. And so he was an outdoors person, but I wouldn't, you know, I would never imagine that he would just strike out going to, you know, walk the Appalachian Trail. That's just not any kind of thing he's ever done or ever even showed, you know, a ton of interest in that rigorous of a hike. That's something you have to prepare for. You have to be ready for. You have to mean it. And he didn't have any of that kind of equipment. He had just a basic backpack. He had a little hammock that you could kind of go out and string between a couple trees and lay in. But, you know, that's about it. He didn't have a sleeping bag there or any of that kind of camping equipment or anything like that. So if he was planning something like that, it was executed in a way that nobody was aware that he had that type of equipment and even abilities to handle.
The Boone area is a very popular destination for those who like to participate in outdoor recreational activities. Next week, Martin will have been missing for a full year, so the surrounding area has seen all four seasons and the recreational activities that go along with each. Beyond the searches that were conducted, with all the hikers, campers, and hunters who have been through the area, no one has stumbled upon Martin, any of his clothing, or the backpack that he had with him. During the investigation, law enforcement spoke to many of Martin's friends and acquaintances. Martin didn't have a car, but they were able to find a friend who had taken him on a very ordinary shopping trip just 2 days before he disappeared.
Tuesday afternoon, when one of his best friends, longtime friends, got finished with classes, him and Martin got together. He took Martin to the place where he could get his hair cut. Then they went grocery shopping, and Martin had a refrigerator in his room besides the community one in the kitchen. The friend said that, you know, he had bought, you know, several bags full of food, not sea rations or anything, just the regular kind of things that he typically bought when they went to the grocery store, filled up his refrigerator in his apartment, and then later on that evening, they went out and hung out with some friends at one of the local clubs that they would go to. Everything just seemed completely normal, natural, not a care in the world. And Thursday, he's gone and the refrigerator's empty, and you know, didn't take his cell phone, which, you know, I probably know a teenage kid that a cell phone just never happens. Didn't take his iPad or any of that kind of stuff with him. It was really, really a strange situation. One of the police officers, the main investigator for the Boone Police Department, said, if I didn't know better and I believed in the X-Files, I would believe a ship came down and picked him up and carried him away.
One of the most puzzling revelations that has been discovered during the investigation was that there were significant gaps in time leading up to Martin's disappearance that are unaccounted for. It isn't just that no one knew where he was. It appears that he could have possibly been attempting to conceal what he was doing or where he was going.
Yeah, there was definitely some periods of time in the weeks leading up to this disappearance where he seemed to tell one group of people he was like with another group, and he'd tell the other group he was with the other group, and he wasn't with either group of people. Like, said that he was playing basketball with his roommates. And then when we're talking to the roommates, they, well, we hadn't played basketball in 3 or 4 weeks. Or, you know, talking to different friends or people that he knew at campus, he was telling, you know, I've been hanging out with so-and-so. And then in the course of this investigation, you're actually talking to that person. And they said, well, I haven't seen him since he came back after Christmas. But he's told somebody else he's been hanging out with them from time to time. So there are some periods of time that just aren't accounted for because he was, for some reason, didn't want to tell, you know, people that he's taken online classes through the community college, or is that because he's going to the low dollar gym instead of the fancy gym in town and didn't want people to know that, you know, he's on a budget and he's at the cheap gym? Or is that because he's, you know, he's having to walk because he doesn't have a car and he doesn't want people to know that? Or is that because he's hanging out with people he shouldn't be hanging out with and he's embarrassed to tell them? You know, there's a multitude of possibilities we just don't know. And there hadn't been anybody who's come forward to say, well, I saw him, you know, quite often at the so-and-so bar and grill or whatever. I saw him down at corner of town, you know, the corner where everybody knows if you want to go buy a crack, that's the place to go. Or, you know, any of the wild scenarios you could come up with, there hasn't been anybody that came forward to say, well, I've seen this, I heard that, I know that guy. So once again, that's another thing where I take my hat off to the Boone Police Department, because it came, after a while, it came apparent to them that there's some gaps there that didn't make sense. And the chief of police himself sat down to write a letter to the community and said, hey, you know, we're working really hard on this and we need your help because something's not exactly right here. And if anybody can tell us anything, we would greatly appreciate it. And it was pretty, you know, heartfelt communication from the chief of police. And it's just another reason why we're so grateful for all that they've done. They've been willing to try just about anything to see if they can shake something out, to give them something to work on.
When I spoke to the police captain, he told me one interesting thing that I'd like to mention here. During these gaps of time, he wasn't leaving a digital trail with his phone or accessing his bank account. So it's not like they can see a transaction at a local cafe or a store during these times. He was just completely dropping off the radar for these periods of time. On the subject of Martin's banking activity, he hasn't accessed his bank accounts and he didn't withdraw a large amount of money before he disappeared. I wondered if it was possible that he could have had a stash of cash with him when he went missing.
As far as we know, he did not have any significant cash on him. He had, you know, a checking and a savings account, which I have access to, that so I could see activity. There has been zero activity since he left in those accounts. The police department regularly run credit checks on him to see whether he's tried to open any kind of account or get any kind of credit card. Been no activity there. Any cash we would have been aware of, put it this way, would have just been at most a couple hundred dollars, and I don't know that he even had that much on him when he left.
With all of the searching and the resources that have been utilized to find Martin, his family is left without much information after the confirmed sighting the day that he went missing. John explained to me how he frequently runs through all the possibilities in his mind.
Yeah, that's the thing about this whole roller coaster ride we've been on. There's a million different possibilities, and you start looking at one and you get a little deeper and a little get deeper, and then it just doesn't make sense. Or you run into a brick wall and they say, well, no, it's not this. One of the law enforcement people that had a conversation with through the Boone Police Department was, you know, unless this guy is Jason Bourne or James Bond or somebody like that, then he can't be here or he can't be doing that, because you would have to have really good identification. Personally, I'm in human resources and I know about doing the background checks and doing checks with Department of Homeland Security and all these things you have to do to, you know, be a normal person, so to speak, in our society. And you have to have ID and you have to have confirmation of the ID. Now, if you want to go somewhere and live in terrible conditions and get paid cash, yeah, you can do that. But that's not what I would envision is how Martin would get off the grid. I mean, he wasn't a lazy kid. He would work. But at the same time, he was, you know, not somebody that would say, well, let's, you know, let's go way off into the woods and spend the next 3 or 4 days with no cell phone, no TV, no iPad, no Netflix, no PlayStation. And, you know, let's live off what we catch or hunt and that kind of stuff. That just was not who he was. I think he's capable of doing anything that he sets his mind to, but it's just not something that you would see him doing. So then that brings you back to, okay, if he's not living off in the woods somewhere, where is he living? How is he living? How does he make his living? You know, then you start thinking about criminal, and are you, is he doing things that he feels he has to do to stay, you know, to keep food and shelter and so on and so forth. And then you're thinking, well, does he have the skills and the knowledge and the talent to be a professional criminal and not get caught? Because, you know, he's all in the, all across the law enforcement systems. His name and his identification is in there. If there's a run-in with the police, they may not be able to hold him, but at least they would contact the Boone Police Department and say, hey, we picked this guy up on a misdemeanor, breaking and entering or whatever kind of thing. And that doesn't show up. So then you start looking at another avenue, and just, we just keep covering a million different trails, and they just go off into the distance and you can't see anything there, or you run into a brick wall and say, well, this trail's closed. What do we look at next?
If Martin did take off to start his life over somewhere else, there's nothing pointing at one place or another. So where do you even start to look without having anything pointing in a specific direction?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have his passport, but that doesn't mean you can't cross a border without a passport. It happens all the time. So, yeah, where do you look? The entire world.
Whenever there's a possibility that someone just walked away, it does give everyone hope that the person will be found alive. When you start pondering the alternatives, that's when things begin to get scary.
Unfortunately, that opens a lot of dark doors. If he didn't just want to go take a break, then was there mental illness involved? Was there drug abuse involved? Was there a situation where he's out trying to catch a ride on the end of, at the end of the road and the wrong person picked him up? You never know who's driving down your street looking for somebody to pick up and do Lord knows what with. So when you go through all these phases of, well, what could have happened, and it just leads to some bad places that if you don't at least have them somewhere in your field of vision, you're not doing yourself justice and you're not doing him justice and everybody, because you have to be real. It doesn't mean you're giving up any hope or you don't have faith and you're not counting down the days to it is when you're reunited. But the reality is, this is a cold, hard world out there. And there's some people that do some really bad things to people, especially who are unsure, uncertain, away from their social group, away from their support. You know, a lot of bad things happen, and those are some tough thoughts to have, and that's some tough feelings to have to deal with.
One possibility that they've had to consider is that Martin set out to harm himself that day.
That's kind of one of the things that is a cold reality that the law enforcement told us initially is, you know, they're trying to hunt down any, you know, electronic or other traces of him. But the reality is, you know, if the body's laying somewhere, there's nothing that they can do about it. We could search and search and search and search and search, and then we find a body. But it's too late. If he's out there somewhere getting by somehow, then, you know, their goal is to find the trace, the fingerprint, the proof, somebody reports something. So until they know a place to look or have a reason to look at a place, they really haven't focused a lot on that. and, you know, the reality behind all of that, which is the cold slap in the face, is, well, a hiker will find the body this summer, or a, you know, hunter will find it this fall, and, you know, there's not much we can do about that part of it. And we haven't even had that situation, which, you know, no body gives you hope, you know, that there's always hope until there's no reason not to have hope. But it doesn't make it any easier to go another day, another week, another month, and really don't know definitively any more we did than the last time I talked to him almost a year ago.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished.
Last summer, I was working on an episode, and a family member of another missing person suggested to me that when people do leave on their own, the attention that the case has received may prevent them from coming forward due to shame or embarrassment. I'll be honest, that wasn't something that I had thought a whole lot on before, but I do think about that a lot now. I asked John if he thought that could be a factor for Martin.
Yeah, that's a thought that crosses your mind, and you know, you don't know what to do. It's like almost every situation with parenting, you know, you don't get an instruction manual, and every kid and every situation is different. That is always a possibility in the back of her mind, that for some reason the attention has caused him not to freely come back. But we weighed the different options and decided the best course was to get out there as much as we can through the media, through Facebook and things, to let him know, you know, we don't care. We love you. We miss you. We want you home. And if there's a reason you can't come home now, then all you have to do is communicate with us and say, I'm okay. We'll talk later. I'll be home later. I'll email you or something, you know, so that we know he's okay. We've tried to write, so to speak, open letters to him via Facebook to let him know, you know, all we want is A, to know he's safe, and then B, we want him home. And if that can't happen for some reason, just to let us know he's okay. And we hope and pray that's the right course to take, and that that's not adding to some sense of grief or embarrassment or shame or whatever the right word it is that would push him not to just come forward. You know, Martin wasn't one who necessarily seeked a lot of outside adulation or anything like that. He was not a person that if you're going to take a group photo that would immediately get to the front of the group and, you know, make sure I'm in the front. You know, I wouldn't say he has any like social anxiety, but he wasn't always necessarily the one that had to be first and go first and follow me. But he was, or he is a quiet leader, and people follow him. So, you know, I could see him getting confused or conflicted on the attention on him, especially if he's feeling like he had opportunities to do things with this life and he had not done what he felt was a good job of taking advantage of those opportunities. That would not help that whole kind of disconnect or disengagement. But that's why we try to always just put out there, hey, we just want you to know we love you and we miss you and we want you to come home, and nothing else matters. And I always try to say that in every interview, that it doesn't matter. We'll deal with all the other stuff later. That's secondary. Somebody's health and safety and knowing that he has a lot of family and friends that care and miss him, and a big part of their life has been impacted by him not being here. That's what we want him to know and feel.
In the end, what do we know about Martin's disappearance? We know that he left that note, and the last confirmed sighting of him was on Thursday, April 21st, 2016. We know that all the searching and investigating has turned up nothing, including what was Martin doing during those times when he can't be accounted for leading up to his disappearance. What were Martin's intentions when he left his apartment on April 21st, 2016? At the time of his disappearance, Martin was 5'10" tall, weighed about 145 pounds with brown hair and blue eyes. He was wearing a black short-sleeved shirt, an ASU windbreaker, khaki shorts, gray shoes, and a white golf visor hat. He has a tattoo on his forearm of mountains and a quote from a Bob Marley song on his chest. If you have any information about Martin's disappearance, please contact Crime Stoppers at 828-268-6959. Or you can also contact the Boone Police Department at 828-268-6900. Now, in part two, I'm going to speak with the Boone Police Department again and ask the questions that I have, along with the ones that you guys submit. I set up a special email address for this purpose, and that's questions@thevanishedpodcast.com. I'll be taking a short vacation over the holiday, which gives you several days to submit questions. Please have them in to me by Monday afternoon. Again, the email address is questions@thevanishedpodcast.com. Martin's family has planned an event on April 21st, which will mark 1 year that he's been missing. The event will be held at 6:30 p.m. at the Southminster Presbyterian Church in Gastonia, North Carolina. They'll also be live streaming the event in the Facebook group named Help Find Martin Roberts. I'll be sharing this information on social media with more details. That brings us to the end of episode 73. If you'd like to contact me, there's a form at thevanishedpodcast.com. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. As I mentioned, I will be going away for the rest of the week, and I won't have great service where I'm going, so I'll apologize in advance for any delays in responding to you this week. Remember to submit your questions for the Boone Police Department at questions@thevanishedpodcast.com. I'm looking forward to seeing what questions you guys come up with. Join me next week for part two of Martin's story.
There hasn't been anything solid since the bus pulled away. One, you know, that one kind of sort of sighting, and then everything else has been very, very shaky at best. But basically, since the bus pulled away, there's been no solid evidence, except for we know he hadn't used his passport to leave the country, or we know he hasn't joined the military, or we know he hasn't been arrested for a major crime. You know some things that you know he hasn't applied for a credit card using his own identity. You know a few negatives, but you don't have anything after that.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid. We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity, that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.